You know, I want to get into the message today. I prayed today like it's something new. I prayed today. go figure. I always try to pray weeks in advance now, and I'm always asking God to share, you know, to give me what the message that I'm supposed to give on any given time. I don't just, you know, pick something out, and I don't search the internet. I don't get messages online for anything. But I was thinking about today and baptism, and we've got so many fairly new Christians in our church. And by the way, I want to welcome all those of you at home, and thank you for tuning in. I wish you were here. I really wish you were here. I miss you so much, and I hope to see you again soon. But we're glad you tuned in today. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about baptism, and as I was praying about our new Christians, and it's so exciting. Boy, isn't it exciting to have new spiritual life in a church? I mean, it's an amazing thing, especially in this climate, in a time when churches are running at about 30 to 40% of their normal crowds, and I certainly hope that changes someday, and I hope all the God's churches get back together and start fellowshipping together and serving together and so on. But thinking about that, you know, and thinking about our new Christians, I can only imagine how difficult it must be for today's brand new Christians. And here's what I mean by that. You know, those of us that are older, you know, if you're older than 50, you probably okay. That's not funny. What are you laughing? Stop. If you're older than 50, you grew up in a time when even people who didn't call themselves Christians went to church. I mean, for the most part. That's just what you did. I mean, that's what families did. That's what people did. They grew up, and they at least had a reverence and a respect for the church. And even at that, even the public schools were teaching the Bible. So brand new Christians of 50 years ago, they already had a foundation in Scripture. They had an understanding of how, you know, what the Bible was all about and what God was all about and the whole Jesus story and all that. But today's brand new Christians, they're many times kind of jumping into something not only with, in some cases, not a lot of foundation, but in some cases a bad foundation. Bad ideas, wrong ideas, and you know, and maybe had a bad experience in a church and learn, you know, and heard some things that just, you know, weren't right and didn't sit well and all that. And so much of our world, including many of the folks that are sit in churches today, and including ours, don't really know some of the very fundamental things of Christianity. And so today, I feel like I really want to talk about some very fundamental things about Christianity. This is kind of Christianity 101 this morning. Now, if you're a seasoned Christian, you are already going to know a lot of the things that I say, but would you please don't allow that to keep you from allowing the Holy Spirit to still teach us something, yes? And to remind us of things that we sometimes forget. And thirdly, to motivate us and challenge us. It'd be a real shame. Hey, listen. Does the Apostle Paul not call this a race that we're in? He used that illustration, right? So we're in a race. Now, I know we're not racing against one another, but wouldn't it be a shame if you got lapped by one of these baby Christians? Hey, I'm talking, come on, I this isn't part of my message, but I'm talking to those of us that have been, we think we've come a long way in Christianity. We've been saved a long time. We've been Christians. I know the Bible. I know this. I know that. It'd be a real shame if one of these brand new baby Christians lapped us because they're excited and we sit down like we did during some of this worship time and just like, okay, whatever. Amen, Dave. It'd be a real shame if you got passed. It'd be a real shame if you got passed. And by the way, can I say to all you brand new Christians, you baby Christians, I dare you. Amen. I dare you. Cruz, I dare you to pass your grandparents. I dare you, Samantha. I dare you to pass some of these stodgy. No, not you all. I'm talking about the folks at home. Oh, wait, not the folks at home. I'm talking about the folks down the street. Look, I dare you. I dare you to get on fire for God. I dare you to live for God. I dare you. There's going to come a day I'm going to dare this boy right down here in his mother's arms. I'm going to challenge him and dare him to do more for in his life, whatever life God allows us to have left on this world before Jesus comes, than his mom and dad who already serve God and are making us all proud. But anyway, much of the world then does not have a foundation. So I got to get back to the message now. All that was just rambling, I guess. but it needed to get out. Okay, I just needed to come out. So today I want to talk about some fundamental things, and I want to much of the world doesn't understand Scripture. There's some parts of Scripture that for somebody who's new, somebody who does not have that foundation, can be not just confusing, but can also seem contradictory. Let me give you an illustration as we wade into, and I talk today about some very, very basic things. Ephesians chapter 2. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we have a classic passage of Scripture that really sums up everything there is to know about the concept of salvation. Salvation is, you know, our being saved. Well, we have to be saved from something. But let me show you what that is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, we know this before we move on. Grace is one of those things where it's basically God giving us something good that we don't deserve and not making us take the bad that we do deserve. Amen. That's grace. Amen. Grace is where God looks at us and says, you're guilty, but I'm not going to consider you guilty. You're wrong, but I'm not going to consider you wrong. You don't deserve to be a part of my family, but I'm going to bring you into my family. Amen. That's grace. Now, we are saved by that grace. It's all God, none of us. That not of yourselves, that's what he's saying. You see, it's faith. You have to put your faith in Jesus. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It really is. Verse 9. Now notice, not of works. Not of works. Not of works. What does that mean? Works is kind of a Bible word. A lot of people don't know what that means. Basically, we could say not of good works. Not of good deeds. Not of religious deeds, religious works. Look, there are so many. Does that mean it's not good to do good things? No, of course we're supposed to do good things. Yes? Hey, when you gave in the offering just now, that was a good work. When you showed up for church, that's a good work. When you serve, when Rick filled the water, the baptistry this morning, the horse trough. Yeah. And by the way, I just hope nobody gets scalded by that hot water he put in there. I mean, it's like a hot tub. I mean, I'm worried that it's going to be too hot for some of you. I'm sorry about that. If it's too, you know, it's going to be like bathwater. Listen, but those are good works. But he said, that's not what saves you. We're not saved by our good works. You can't earn your way to heaven, folks. You can't buy your way to heaven. Don't ever let a pastor tell you. Don't ever let a televangelist or a priest or a preacher or anybody like that. Don't ever let anybody tell you can buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You don't have that kind of money. Even if you could, you couldn't do it. I mean, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And as you know, Southern folks say, and all the taters in them hills. You know, he owns all that. He owns everything. And so you can't buy your way into heaven. We can't do anything to make us worthy of heaven. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit, but it's important to understand this. Because some people think that baptism is a part of their salvation. That's a work. It's not a part of your salvation. You getting baptized in order to try to get to heaven, doesn't get you one step closer to heaven. You're going to go to heaven only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Baptism, if that's why you're getting baptism, you're just going to get wet. That's it. Baptism is a whole different thing. We know that. We talked about that. And I'll mention it later. So I want to be very clear. I want to be very clear with our especially with our young Christians. Can't earn your way to heaven. And he said, because if you could, you'd boast about it. Now, notice though verse 10. Here's where the confusion comes in. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is where some people get a little bit and say, wait a minute, so do I get to heaven by good works or not by good works? Because here it's talking about good works. And here's where some of the confusion comes in, that I'm supposed to do some good works, it looks like there. And yes, we are supposed to do some good works. Let me give you another one. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And here's where it really can get to be a little confusing for some young Christians and even for some people who have been around a while because they've been taught about this. In fact, there's people all over the world being taught incorrectly about a verse like this one. Notice, therefore, my beloved, Apostle Paul. Now he's writing to the church at Philippi. Before he was writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And he gives us this odd sounding command. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. And this is where people, if they're not careful, they'll scratch their heads and say, but I thought I was saved by grace. You are saved by grace. But here it says I'm supposed to work out my salvation. I'm supposed to, it's talking about having to work something out. Well, there's some dangerous misunderstandings here. First is the word work. You know, we work out. Okay, what do you do when you work out? You go to the gym, yes? you go to the gym, and it's and there, that's honestly, that's how some people see becoming a Christian. A lot of people are saying, look, man, I don't want to be, if I'm going to become a Christian, it's like a workout all the time. It's hard. I got to work at it. I get every single day. I mean, you know, people who work out every day, you know, like I do. Hypocrites. Look, workout. You know, if it's going to be like a workout, man, I don't want that. I mean, if I got to constantly be doing all this stuff, I got to give up this. I can't do anything fun. It's got to be. Isn't that the image some people have? Well, I don't want to become a Christian because I'll have to give up this, 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 and this. Look, it doesn't make any difference how many things you give up. You're still not earning your way to heaven, folks. And so, therefore, he can't be. He's not talking about working out our salvation, but it sounds that way. It sounds like a workout. And then the other thing, it says, work out your own salvation, as if my salvation is different than Ken's. Guess what? Ken got saved the same way I do. Same way you do. There isn't a personal way. There is no my way or a way that's right. Well, this is, you know, it's right for me. Hey, no, it's right or it's wrong. Listen, don't listen to anybody who says, well, it's right for me or that's wrong for me. No, it's right. It's right if God says it's right. It's wrong if God says it's wrong. For Harold, just the same for me. For Laura, just the same for me. So, but this can be confusing, and people can look at that and say, "Well, man, I got to work out my own salvation." That almost sounds like I got to figure it out too. It almost sounds like he's saying you got to figure out how to be saved. And there are people like that. If you ever ask somebody, "Hey, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven?" Well, I think so. I think so, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm working on this. I'm doing. Listen, you don't have to try to figure it out. Jesus said, Paul said it very clearly when he said, "For by grace are you saved." Through faith, not of yourselves, not of works. So why do we have a verse like this one? Why does Paul put a verse like this in our Bibles to make it sound like we're supposed to figure out our salvation or work it out or try to earn it somehow? Well, first let's talk about the word salvation. Okay, what does it mean to be saved? Well, when he said, "For by grace are you saved," then it means we have to be saved from something, right? Listen, the Bible tells us that if we have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, we're already condemned. Now, that means that no decision is a decision to be lost. Okay? Say, well, I'm just not ready to make that decision yet. Okay, then you remain lost. Well, not lost because I haven't chosen yet. No, you have chosen. Look, I'm just being real plain today. Being real plain. If you're sitting here today, you've never made that decision to trust Jesus Christ. If you've never come to him humbly and said, "Jesus, I realize you're my only hope for heaven. Please forgive my sins. Take me to heaven when I die." If you've never done that, then you're lost. Amen. You're already lost. So he said, but you can be saved, you know, by grace. So when we think about it, so what does salvation mean? Let me tell you what, so salvation has a lot of words. Okay, there's a lot of words in the Bible that talk about salvation. For example, so, you know, we have the word saved, right? We have the word saved. That's what, and we often use that word, but you know, the world has kind of taken that and almost mocked it and even made fun of it. You ever notice how when God uses an expression, the world oftentimes adopts it and then uses it improperly? You know, and so people mock that sometimes, saved, you know. There's also the word converted. You know, there's talks about being converted. And, you know, and the word converted, but see, that gets misused too. That often talks about changing religions or simply adopting a different religion. Like you had to convert to Judaism in order to get married, or you had to convert to Catholicism in order to get married in the Catholic Church, or something like that. So that one gets misused also. Jesus used an expression called born again. Or if you're from West Virginia or Kentucky, it's born again. Born again. So look, there's lots of phrases in Scripture that get used. But they all basically just simply mean this. You came and you decided that Jesus was your only hope for heaven. You're trusting him and you're following him. I believe in Jesus and I'm following him. That's what it means to be all these things. Are you writing down born again, Duana? Don't write that down. Listen, so that's what salvation is all about. So when we come back to that verse 12. Now let's get back to that verse. And let me. I don't want to belabor this message today. So when he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," what's he talking about? Well, it literally means exactly what it looks like. It means we are saved. We don't work for our salvation. Once we're saved, though, once we're a follower of Jesus Christ, God then begins to do a work inside of us that's supposed to work its way out.
Amen.
It's the salvation. If you are truly saved, if you're truly a child of God, there's got to be something inside of you that needs to come out. I'm going to use this expression. I don't know if you all have met Jules yet. Jules is right back here sitting behind Kelly. Wake up, Kelly. Just kidding. She's sitting right behind. Every once in a while you meet somebody that just is the best word is probably exuberant. I got to tell you, Teresa, she reminds me of you. You two ought to get together. You two get together and neither one of you will get a word in. No, it's this joy. I mean, they just exude joy, and I love that. I came away so encouraged. We met, and we were just talking about different things. But there's just some people, they just exude joy. It just comes out. It can't help it. They just can't help it. You know, and I love that, and that's how it's supposed to be. But and not everybody's going to have that personality. But whatever God is doing inside of a believer, if it's not trying to get out, there's something wrong with the Christianity that you found. See, the Holy Spirit is the creator of the universe.
Amen.
And if the creator of the universe is inside of you, for you to be able to contain that, you got to be, I mean, some kind of strong. Or maybe he's not inside of you. See, there ought to be something that's trying to get out. In fact, the next verse tells us that. Look at verse 13. He said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, God is working something inside of you. The moment that you got saved, the moment you got born again, whatever you want to call it, the moment you started following Jesus, the Holy Spirit started doing something inside of you. Now, you could shut that off. You can quench that, the Bible says. Amen. Squelch that. But the truth of the matter is, he began something for his... He had something that he looked at and said, man, I like that. Look at it. Look at the scripture. For his good pleasure. The moment you trusted Jesus, Jesus looked at you and said, man, I've been waiting for this day because I got something I'm excited about to do inside of you.
Amen.
But he can only do what we let him do. He can only do what we surrender. See, because it's his will, right? To will, that means his will, and to do. He wants to do it through you. He doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it through you.
Amen.
He wants to do it through me. These folks that are getting baptized today, that's basically what they're saying. They're saying, God, use me.
Amen.
That's the statement they're making. They're saying, use me. When Victoria and Stephen got up here earlier and Dale got over here and sang and or started playing, they basically were saying, God, use me. And boy, God is using them. And God is using people. And God wants to use all of us. So that's what the verse, that's what he's talking about. So this thing of, it literally means to work out. Now I've got to hurry here. So God is working in you. In fact, we go back to that first passage that I shared with you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Notice he said, for we are his workmanship. This is the verse that follows for we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he said, for we are his workmanship. That means he is making something out of us, or he wants to. Created in Christ Jesus. For what? For what? For good works, right? So we don't do good works in order to be saved. But after you're saved, if we're not trying to figure out what those good works are God wants us to do, then we're not doing what he prepared for us. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand, what does that mean? That means before you got saved. Before you knew Jesus, he knew you.
Amen.
Before you loved Jesus, he loved you.
Amen.
And before you chose to follow him, he had a plan that he prepared. Before you ever even trusted him, he was prepared. He had something prepared. He said, I want you to walk in this way. Those works have nothing to do with getting us saved, but those works are what we're supposed to spend the rest of our lives doing after we're saved.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. It's all about doing those good works. This is how Jesus said it. Jesus himself in the book of Matthew. He said this. He said, we're supposed to be light in the world. Look at Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may hear your good words. Is that what it says? That they may see how much scripture you know. That they may see how handsome you are. Buddy, you're not even going to make it to heaven on those looks, if that's the case. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They don't care how much we know. They care about how we treat them. They're not going to come to Jesus and say, man, I just can't. This guy, Tom, look, Tom knows an amazing amount of scripture. He really does. You want to know something the Bible says? Ask Tom, because he knows. Now, Tom doesn't feel like he's a teacher. Communication's not, but I'll tell you what, he knows the Bible. But guess what? That's not what somebody's going to see in him and care about and follow and come to Jesus. They're going to come to Jesus because they see how he treats them kindly. Because he's such a good man. And he's good to them. And he cares about them. And it shows. That's what they're going to glorify God in heaven. They're going to glorify God because of any of those other things and so forth. You know, so let me say it this way. You know, heaven, catching the bus to heaven, that's just the icing on the cake. Here's where I'm going with this. See, catching the bus to heaven, going to heaven, that's just the icing on the cake. You know that expression, right? Man, you ought to smell this. Oh, my goodness. What do you mean, no? Well, you're such a weirdo. Everybody else here thinks that smells good, Leah. Oh. You and Leah, you're sitting on a black chair, Tana. What do you know? You're sitting on a restaurant chair. Look, listen, going to heaven is the icing on the cake, but please don't miss this. There are too many Christians, they're going to show up at the pearly gates, and they're not going to have any cake to put the icing on. See, we're going to get to heaven. Again, I'm using that as an illustration, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, that's good. That's not bad. You know, heaven is going to be wonderful. Please don't get me. Look, the thief on the cross, he barely made it to heaven, right? Last thing he did was trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he's very fortunate that Jesus died first. Because when Jesus died, that ushered in the age of grace. Before Jesus died, the man had to do some good works. And he didn't have any time to do good works because he was lost and he was a thief and all those things. But as soon as Jesus died, that's when the New Testament began. The new covenant began between God and men, and all he had to do was trust Jesus. And so Jesus paid for his sins by dying on the cross. But listen, but all he would have done would be to get there with no cake. So it'd be like, here, Ken. So Ken gets to heaven after having done nothing for God. Here's your icing. It's heaven. Well, that's your problem. No, I'm not going to do that to you. But right? Look, living the Christian life on this earth, not serving God, not doing anything for anybody in this world. We're going to show up to heaven like somebody showing up to get icing with no cake to put it on. Again, it's not bad. You want to taste it? Yes, you do. I know you do. You do, don't you? Yeah. See, if I bring this to you right now, what are you going to do with it? What if I don't give you this? Now look, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not going to give this to you. I'm going to give this to Chloe before she goes home. See, we're supposed to have something with us when we get to heaven. We're supposed to have people with us. We're supposed to bring our sheaves. Remember the old song? How many of you remember the old hymn, Bringing in the Sheaves? Remember that? You know, we sang that as kids. Kids used to sing that song in church. And they had no idea what that meant. I mean, you can only imagine what they sang when they were singing it in their bedroom. You know, bringing in the sheep or bringing in, you know. They were, you know how you sing the wrong lyrics to things when you don't know what they are? And so I can only imagine what kids, because kids don't know what sheaves are. In fact, most adults don't know what sheaves are. We sang those songs and we don't really think about what they mean, but we're supposed to bring with us people to heaven. We're supposed to bring with us lives that were changed. Jesus said, look, you can do that easily. What you do on this earth, you're sending rewards in heaven. God converts your good deed into precious stones, gold, silver, and precious stones, and that's going to go to heaven with you. And that's symbolic. That just simply means, look, here's what that means. Heaven's going to be better for some people. It's good for everybody. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be heaven for everybody. But it's going to be better for some than others. You know, it's going to be better for the martyrs than for any of us. People who died for the cause of Christ, there's rewards for them that none of the rest of us are going to qualify for. But it's also going to be better for those that every single day of their lives, they do those little things to try to please God. And I just don't want anybody from my church, I don't want any of my folks to show up, including me, I don't want anybody to show up at heaven's door without any cake to put the icing on. I want my folks to hear. That's pretty good. I want my folks to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, those that I've got to expedite this. Look, those who choose to get baptized today, you know what they're really saying? They're saying, I want to know what my purpose is. I want that. Remember that verse we talked about how God has a reason for us? He has a plan for us? The people that are getting baptized today, they're making a public statement today saying, God, I want to know what my purpose is. Now, if you think you don't have a purpose, if you're here today, you're listening in online, and you say, man, I don't think I have a purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know if I even have a purpose. Well, I want you to know you're wrong. You do have a purpose. Go back to Ephesians 2, verse 10, please, if we could. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He has a purpose for you. Figure out what it is. Find what it is. Look, Laura, when Larry went to heaven, it was really hard for you to focus on any purpose, wasn't it? I was sharing your story with somebody yesterday, Laura. I mean, you talk about lovebirds. You talk about two people knit together in every possible way and then to be torn apart when one goes to heaven. And Laura went through about a year where it was really hard, but she has found her purpose again.
Amen.
And guess what?
Amen.
Some of you are her purpose.
Yep.
I'm her purpose. She encourages me. I know she loves me. I know she prays for me, and she encourages me and challenges me. And so my point is, no matter how old you get, you have a purpose. Don't offense. No offense by that. You know, see, all those things that you were before you got saved, that's what God wants to use you for. Your purpose is more than being a wife. Right? Your purpose is more than being a mom. Your purpose is more than being a mom, more than being a dad, more than being a grandpa. It's more than being whatever skills and whatever talent you have. Dale's purpose is more than just playing the guitar. We all have a purpose that God made us for, and he wants us to figure out what it is. You know, John, I give John a hard time all the time. But John knows I love him. I will never have a baptism day at New Hope where I will not think about John Skeens. Did you see his shoes, by the way? How arrogant are you to put your name on your shoes? I mean, he's styled. He's got his name on his shoes. They've actually made that way. But John is a remarkably talented man. Now, I understand that last night wasn't exactly. There's some of you came in bragging this morning about playing darts and beating John. Hey, that's a big deal. See, John's a very, very talented man. He really is. He's got you've bowled 5 perfect games, yes? 5 of them. And that's how many more than you, Tom? 3 more than you. And you know, so he's very, very talented at that. Very talented golfer. Teaches a lot of people to play. Very talented. And has probably won a lot of money in bars throwing darts over the years. Guess what he's doing now? Same thing. No. Now what he's doing is he's opening up his home. He and Sue open up their home on every Saturday night, 7:00. And they have 8 or 9 people of different ages and generations, and I mean, they got teenagers all the way up through John's age, that and they get together and they throw darts What a great way to bring generations together. Do you know how hard it is to get an 18-year-old with a 75-year-old? No, I'm being serious. Well, you know, I'm cutting a break. Look, it's not easy. It's not easy to bring different generations together, but boy, we need that. We need generations to be together. But what a great time. So now he opens up his home and all those skills that he had before he trusted Christ as his Savior. Now God is using those. Do you know what he's doing? He's working out his salvation.
Amen.
That's what that means. He is working out his salvation. And by the way, what a better place. Do you have any friends that you've invited to church and they say, yeah, I'm not a church guy. Yeah, I don't think I'm interested in church. There's a lot of people like that. And there's good reasons for that. There's a lot of times people have been misused at church, and there's a lot of good reasons why people, because of people, not because of Jesus, but because of people, that other people don't want to go to church. But maybe they'll go and throw darts at John's house. You ought to get them over there. Because they'll see the fellowship. They'll see, hey, these Jesus people, they're not so bad. They're not so bad. In fact, they're kind of cool. And then eventually Jesus will be able to work his way into them. Again, I could go on about a lot of things today. My point is, that's what it means to work out your salvation. What I want you to remember this morning is just this. It's just, I don't want you to show up at heaven without a cake to put the icing on. Heaven is just the ultimate prize. It's the end prize. But there's a lot of time on this earth, and well, we all have a lot of life to live, but there may not be a lot of time left on this earth.
Amen.
In fact, I hope there's not.
Amen.
And I don't think there is. So if I'm right, none of us have very much more time to get that cake ready.
Amen.
To get something for that icing to go, to get something for Jesus to be happy about. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is happy that we're all coming, okay? He's happy that we're coming. But there is so much more that he wants from each one of us. Those of you listening in at home, there's so much more that he wants for you than just to sit and listen to a message.
Amen.
Do you know why we come to church? We come to church, yes, to hear a message, but that's not the main reason. The main reason is the church is the vehicle Jesus chose to use to reach the world.
Amen.
That's it. That's why it's important to be here. That's why it's important to be involved here. That's why it's important to be opening a door, working with kids, rocking a baby, taking the offering, greeting people, encouraging people, loving people, being here on Friday night, being here on Wednesday night, bringing people to you, being on a worship team, doing something. God wants us to find something to do.
Amen.
And he's already prepared what it is. I just don't think we're asking him. If you don't think there's something for you to do, well, guess what? You could stick around here this afternoon if you want to and help break up concrete.
Yep.
Not you, Laura. I'll bet you she'd try. I can only see her with a jackhammer. Can you see? She'd be riding that jackhammer right down the street. They'd be taking her right out of here. But there's plenty for all of us to do. Tony, could you use some help down to your Sunday school class? Could you use somebody to be there to help answer questions and to take over when you have to be gone for some time? You know, when you're drunk and over and hungover one morning. No, I mean, I didn't mean that. When you want to go on vacation, you want to go camping. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who is your helper,
Amen.
Who would just step in and take over? You don't have to cancel that class like you did 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And somebody just be there every week. Look, you could come and do that. There's plenty. It doesn't take much to come and sit in a Sunday school class and be a blessing to a teacher. Doesn't take much to come on a Friday night, give up an hour and a half of your Friday night, bring some food in with you, and be a helper to Ken and Kim.
Amen.
Listen, we ought to be packing Friday night so much downstairs that they have to start breaking it up and having people up here, having people out there, having people on our new patio.
Amen.
Even in the wintertime.
Amen.
But having people all over the place, because there are people with different needs.
There
ought to be multiple opportunities for people to come and get the help they need on a Friday night, but he can only be in one room. He can only be in one place, and Kim can only be in one place. Find something so that when we go to heaven, we have some cake. Those of you at home, please consider finding a way to get back involved in church. Church is not a bad word. Churchy is, but church isn't. Churchy. It's like religious. It gives a wrong impression to the unsaved community. It gives a wrong impression to the unchurched. That's who we want to reach. We want to reach them. All right, where am I at? Okay, why should we do this? Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, and I'm done. Watch. Here's why. Because he said that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a... Is there ever a time when this verse rang more true in America? Of a crooked and perverse generation. Strong words. Among whom you shine as lights in this world. You shine as lights. You cannot earn heaven. Watch, and I'm done. You can't earn heaven. You can only get heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, please, 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 go find one of our deacons, find one of our leaders, grab the person next to you, find somebody and say, I need to know exactly what that means. I need you to pray with me. Do that today during this invitation.
Amen.
But you can't earn heaven no matter what you do. But you must earn the cake to put the icing on. That's the part God's not going to give you. He's not going to give it to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you.